of the New Testament. Chapter 5. And we're going to start reading there at verse number 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Amen.
And a certain man was there, and this is the important part, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years this man was afflicted. It doesn't say whether he sat by the pool for 38 years, but he was on this day sitting beside the pool with his affliction of 38 years.
Right.
Bible says in verse number 6 that when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you today for your presence here in this house, God. We thank you for your many, many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, for your touch upon our lives. I ask, God, that you would anoint my mind and my thoughts today, O Lord Jesus. Anoint my tongue, O Lord, to speak the words that you have given me to speak. God bless each and every one that hears this message tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. You may be seated. The title that I'd like to put on this message tonight is Your Opportunity is Now.
Amen.
Your opportunity is now.
Amen.
Right?
See, a pastor's message on Sunday, the Great Exchange, there was a word that I heard pastor use many times throughout that message, and that word was opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I've had this message thought in my mind for a couple of weeks now. And when he preached that message on Sunday, I thought, man, these go together like ham and glove.
Amen.
For those of you that have heard my preaching in the past, I've mentioned many times that I've got somewhat of a fascination with those who choose to risk their lives by climbing Mount Everest. I love reading the books about these people that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars mountaineering and learning how to climb. And they go to Mount Everest to climb up a steep mountain just for the sake of reaching the top and saying, I made it there.
Right.
I've read books from different people. One that I've read many times over is Into Thin Air by a man by the name of John Krakauer. Left for Dead was a good one, which was by Beck Weathers, the man who was literally left for dead many times on that mountain during the 1996 disaster. The first one that piqued my interest that I read was called Ultimate High by Göran Kropp. I believe he was a Swedish man who rode his bicycle from, it was either Switzerland or Sweden, all the way to Mount Everest, climbed Mount Everest without oxygen, came back down off the mountain, and rode his bicycle home. And it just fascinates me what goes through a person's mind that they would be willing to do, put all this work in just to climb a mountain.
Yeah.
Most of the books that I've read all are based around the 1996 disaster when many, many people lost their lives due to a storm that came in while they were attempting the summit. Each of those people, though, that choose to climb Mount Everest, and anybody who has read anything or knows anything about those who climb Mount Everest, you know that there is a very small window or opportunity in which you can make that push for the summit. Mm-hmm. You spend, a lot of times, you're on the mountain for up to 2 months. You get to base camp and you sit there, you build your camp, and you make these little treks up mountain and back again to base camp. You climb up to the first camp, you stay there for a couple of days, you come back down to base camp. All the time, acclimatizing yourself to the altitude, acclimatizing yourself to the conditions, to the cold, all the things that you're going to experience as you climb the mountain. Once you get acclimatized to the first camp, you make a push for the second camp. And you go back and forth between these camps over the course of a couple of months, acclimatizing yourself all for the span and the position to get yourself positioned to meet that window,
right?
Which is a lot of times only about 4 or 5 days long. You have to be there. You have to be at the peak. You have to be at camp, the last camp number 4, when that window opens. Mm-hmm. Or you miss that window of opportunity and it's gone. That's exactly what happened in 1996 when these climbers all gathered on the mountain, and there was many, many climbers, far too many on the mountain that were climbing at that time, and they were all getting jumbled up together, and they were all trying to get up and down the same path at the same time, and some were going up and some were coming down, and it did is create confusion so that people, that window of opportunity was there. Many of them were not ready. Many of them ended up losing their lives because when that opportunity was there, they missed it. Mm. When that break in the weather says now, you have to go now.
Right.
Waiting a day could mean life or death when you're in those conditions. When you're on top of the highest peak in the world in 60 below weather, trying to make that push up a narrow trail with limited oxygen, little or no oxygen, and trying to make it home again. They say that it's not so much reaching the summit that is the dangerous part, it's coming back down again. After you just spent hours, a lot of times half a day, outside of a zone where your body is starting to eat itself because of the lack of oxygen, which is the reason why a lot of climbers now use supplemental oxygen in their climbs. In our opening scripture in the book of John, chapter 5, verse number four tells us, "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." And it's in that point, in that time, as these people gathered around the pool waiting for that opportunity, waiting for that chance to be able to step into the pool or reach into the pool, whatever was necessary to be done. They waited for that opportunity. They waited for that time for the angel to say, now. And when the angel would trouble the water, it was the first one to get into the water that would receive that blessing, that would receive what they were looking for on that day. And we find this man that Jesus came and talked to, 38 years in his condition. 38 years living with an infirmity, 38 years looking for a solution, 38 years maybe looking for a healing, until one day Jesus came along and said, "Would you be whole?"
Amen.
"Well, you know, sir, I've been trying here for a long time, and every time I try to get to that pool, somebody beats me. I lose that opportunity." But Jesus said, "It doesn't matter, because your opportunity is now."
Yeah.
Right.
Come on. Your opportunity is right now. You've been sitting here for all this time, and you've been having this infirmity for 38 years, and I know that you've had that infirmity for this amount of time, but I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Take up your bed and go home. Every one of us in our lives experience those points when God says your opportunity is now. And when that comes, when Jesus says now, you don't want to miss it.
Right.
Your now is not necessarily the same as somebody else on the other side of the room.
Come on.
Somebody else is sitting in another home listening to this message right now. Your now may not be the same time as theirs is. But when Jesus says now, you need to grasp that opportunity. You need to take a hold of that opportunity. You need to be able to move in that chance before that window closes. Each one of us come for a reason that we are looking for something. We don't come to church. We don't come to want to know God because we've got an infirmity in our body and we need a healing. Or at least I hope you don't. We don't come because we are looking for blessings. Again, I hope you don't. We're coming because our soul is looking and searching and longing for something more than what this world has to offer.
Right.
Many of us that I spent 30 years in the world searching for something, looking for something, longing for something. And I didn't know what it was that I was searching for. I didn't know what it was that my soul was looking for. And I was trying to fill it with alcohol, and I was trying to fill it with a worldly lifestyle, and I was going to the bars all the time, and I was trying to fill that void, but it wasn't filling anything.
Come on.
Because my soul wanted something else.
Come on.
And you've all heard this before, that a voice came into my mind when I started thinking, there's got to be more to life than this, what I'm experiencing right now. And that voice said, go to church. God said, I'm going to give you an opportunity.
Yeah.
That opportunity didn't come right away. But then I met my wife. And God was still speaking. God held that window of opportunity open for me. She said, I need to go back to church. I need to get back there. I don't like this. I don't like the way we're living. I don't like what we're doing. I need to go back to church. I said, okay, I'll come along. And I stepped into that window of opportunity.
Right.
And I took a hold of that opportunity that was presented to me. And it made a difference in my life. As I said earlier, I've been bought. And I have been blessed.
Yes.
But the best thing of all is I've been set free. Because I took that opportunity when it was presented. And I reached for that opportunity and I grabbed a hold of it with both hands. And now my life has been changed. And going on, I think, 18 years now, living for God.
Amen.
God blessing me every day of my life. Even though your now is not necessarily the same as somebody else on the other side of the rooms, with God it could be. As Jesus spent his 3.5 years of his earthly ministry seeking out individuals and having others seek him for their opportunity. Read through the Gospels and you see time after time after time as Jesus walked from one place to another, people would come and they would throng him because they were all looking for an opportunity.
Right.
And he would go out and he would seek people and go to be near people because he wanted to offer them an opportunity. Went to the woman in the well, went to Samaria, to a land that the Jews were not welcome at all. And he went down there and found that woman by the well because he knew that she was going to be there. And he had an opportunity to give to her in that time and in that moment.
Amen.
He knew what he was doing when he went into that land. The people that had needs came into the presence of Jesus Christ. Many people, through the words of Jesus Christ, heard one thing. Now.
Yeah. Right.
Now you have your opportunity.
Right.
If we turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, very familiar passage of scripture for most of us. We're going to start reading there, verse number 25. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Mm-hmm. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, mm-hmm. I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes?
Right.
And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
Amen.
This woman for 12 years fought against this plague. The Bible says, but then she heard of Jesus. When she went to find him, she could have been deterred. Deterred by the press of the people thronging Jesus. I'm guessing that there was quite a multitude that were there when his disciples turned and said, look at the press of people around you, Jesus, and you're asking who touched you? Jesus, these people are all trying to touch you. These people are all reaching out, trying to see what they can get from you today. Reaching out, they all want to touch the one that has given sight to the blind eyes. They all want to touch the one that has raised the dead. They all want to get close to the one that can do these miracles. And you're asking, who touched me?
Right? Come on.
Many, many people around Jesus in that day. And I can just imagine maybe what the thoughts that would have been going through this woman as she was out searching for this Jesus. And she knew who he was by name, and she was looking for him, and she probably wandered down the street, and she thought, I know where he is. He's in that group of people out there. He's in that, you know, all that multitude of people.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to find this Jesus.
Right.
But what will they think? How are they going to treat me when they know that I've got this issue? What will they say when I try to get close to Jesus? How are they going to treat me, this person who's afflicted, different from all of the rest? But those thoughts didn't stop her. Because she had an opportunity.
Amen.
She knew that her opportunity was now. It was touch Jesus or forever live with this infirmity. This infirmity that might have even taken her life if she had not been cured. There was nothing that was going to stop her, nothing that was going to deter her, because that window of opportunity was open, and she was going to take it. She was going to step through that window. She was going to grasp a hold of that ring and say, this is what I'm going to take today.
Yeah.
Many people, as they searched for an opportunity, not only heard that word now, but they acted upon it.
Yes.
I've been one of those people that has heard that word. I've heard Jesus say, now. And the opportunity passed.
Come on.
I've told you all about the story. To this day, for lack of a better word, it still haunts me to think of what could have been when that young lady that was 16 years old and was dying of cancer. And we had heard it. I knew somebody that was a friend of hers. And I woke up on a morning and I heard this voice. One of the few times that I actually heard like an audible voice in my head said, go and pray for her. Jesus is saying, now is your opportunity.
Yeah.
But Jesus, she doesn't know who I am. I'm going to look like a fool going into a hospital room and, oh, yeah, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I was told to come and pray for you. Oh, yeah, by who? Well, God told me to come. I did nothing with it. Tuesday, I woke up. I heard the same voice. Still argued with that voice. Wednesday, the voice was silent. Part of my argument was the fact that, well, she's down in Vancouver. How am I going to go down to Vancouver and pray for her? Brother Wilson, I don't remember if he knew the family or just whether through the hockey community just knew about the situation, but Brother Wilson was ministering that Wednesday night, and he got up front. He started talking about this young lady and said, yeah, there's no hope for her. They sent her home. She's in the hospital here. They sent her home to be with her family because she's going to die. And they wanted to make her at least close to her family and help her to be comfortable. Well, a big part of my argument there is gone because she's not in Vancouver. She's here. Mm-hmm. Thursday morning, I wake up. There's that voice again. Go and pray for her. Friday morning, voice was silent. That young lady passed away on that Friday. I went to Pastor and I said, Pastor, this is really bothering me. This is what happened. This is what I believe God was telling me. And I did nothing with it. Shortly before that, we had had a men's prayer here at the church, Brother Beer, Pastor, myself. I believe we're the only ones that were here. Brother Shotwell had given 11 things to pray for. He said that he prays for every day. The three of us that were here made a covenant that we were going to pray these 11 things every day. Pastor said to me, he said, have you been doing what we agreed to do? Have you been praying those 11 things that Brother Shotwell gave us to pray for? I said, yes, Pastor. I said, I've been praying for those things faithfully. Pastor said, well, what are those 11 things? Well, it's knowledge of God's word. It's an understanding of God's word. It's wisdom on how to apply God's word. It's faith. Praying for more faith. Praying for a spirit of discretion. Discretion. The sixth one was praying for the sensitivity to the voice of God. Seventh thing, praying for authority in Jesus' name. Then there's prayer to be a soul winner, pray to be a good witness, pray to have a burden for the lost, and pray to love people the way God loves people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 11 things. He says, so number 6 and number 7, you were praying for a sensitivity to the voice of God, and you heard God speak. Number 7, you were praying for authority in Jesus' name. He says, I believe God wanted to give you that authority in Jesus' name. The reason I say that it haunts me today is because could that young lady still be alive today if I would have been obedient to the voice of God? When God said, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and pray for this person. I want you to step out in faith. I want you to do what it is that I'm asking you to do. And if I would have said, yes, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. That young lady could have also heard that voice saying, your opportunity is now. Your opportunity is now to receive a miraculous healing in your body. That the cancer that the doctors could not get rid of, that they could not take away from her, God could have taken away from that young lady. But life is full of what ifs. That's why it's so important that when that opportunity, when you hear that voice say now,
right.
It's important that you say, yes, I'm going to take that opportunity. I'm going to dive in with both feet, and I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, God. I'm going to go where you're asking me to go, God. I'm going to do whatever it is that you're wanting, God, because I don't want to miss that window of opportunity. Peter heard one word when Jesus called him out of the ship to walk on water. He heard now. Now is your time to do the miraculous, Peter. Now is your turn. It's your time to turn your faith into action, Peter. Now is your time to do what others are fearing, Peter. And that's listening to my voice and stepping out in faith and being able to do what others cannot do because it's not you doing it,
right,
but it's God working through you.
Right.
Blind Bartimaeus, that Pastor mentioned on the weekend, on Sunday, heard only one word when Jesus asked him to come. He heard now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A blind man standing beside the roadside, listening and hearing Jesus coming down the way, asked who he was. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he cried out.
Right.
That's why when he kept crying out, they wanted him to be quiet. He kept crying out even louder. When Jesus stopped and when he said, bring that man to me, all he heard was now. And he took off his blind garment, the clothes that identified him as a blind man, because he knew God saying now. He's saying, right now, I'm going to receive my healing. I step up off of this curb and I walk to that man that's walking down the street. I am not coming back here as a blind man. I'm not coming back here the same way that I left this place, because I'm going out. I'm taking that opportunity that's being presented to me right now. And I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to receive that blessing that he has for me at this moment. We can't miss that opportunity when God says now. Mary and Martha thought that Lazarus had missed his opportunity when Jesus didn't come when he was called. Mm-hmm. Let's turn back in our Bibles to the book of John again, chapter 11. John chapter 11. This story takes up the entire chapter. We're not going to read the entire thing. I've just selected portions out of it. We're going to start reading at verse number 1 of John chapter 11. It says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Jesus, Lazarus, you love him, and he needs an opportunity, and he needs an opportunity now. But Jesus tarried. Let's turn over to verse number 17. It says that when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. It took a little while to travel, plus waiting the 2 days. When he arrived, Lazarus was dead. In the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Let's go down now to verse number 38. There was a little bit of discussion went on. Verse number 38 says, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Right.
It was not until Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, that Jesus was saying, Lazarus, your opportunity is now. I am here and I am calling you out. And now is that opportunity. Now is that chance for you to rise up. Now is that chance for you to live again. The best thing is in all of this is the fact that since Jesus came to this earth, When God manifested himself in the very same flesh that we all walk in every day, as God gave that body as a sacrifice for our sins, and that life was surrendered on the cross, there was a sound heard within the souls of all mankind, and that sound was now.
Woo!
Now is your opportunity to arrive. Now has your opportunity come. Now is your deliverance. Now are the chains of captivity broken. Now is your healing available. Now is salvation open to the whosoever will. That was the word that we heard as the veil was rent in twain. That was the word that we heard as his blood dripped off that cross when he went and he gave his life for all of mankind.
Right.
He's saying your opportunity is now.
Amen.
We have before us someone here tonight who heard God say now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is my opportunity.
Amen.
Yes.
God has led Cliff to us. He's opened his eyes to the truths of his word. And tonight, Cliff is getting baptized in Jesus' name.
Woo!
It doesn't matter how long you've lived for God. It doesn't matter whether you're a brand new saint in God. It doesn't matter whether you've lived for God your entire life. God is still reaching and God is still giving over opportunities. You just need to be listening for that opportunity. When Jesus says now, you need to step out into that opportunity. You need to grab a hold of that opportunity and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to step into this and I'm going to take what God has to offer. As we stand together tonight.
Hallelujah.
And as the days leading up to Jesus' return draws closer. Heaven is our Mount Everest summit. Heaven is our goal.
Amen.
We all want to get there. We all want to stand upon that pinnacle. We all want to stand in that place and be able to plant our flag and say we've made it to the top. We've made it to what we were searching for, what we were seeking for. And along the way, there's going to be pitfalls. And along the way, there's going to be traps. And along the way, there's going to be things that could take our life. But there's nothing that can take away that life in heaven when we've taken the opportunities that Jesus has given us.
Amen.
When the window of opportunity comes, we must be in a position to make that push for the summit. Missing that opportunity to make heaven your home is a matter of life and death. And it's not just a matter of your earthly death, but it's a matter of an eternal death. And that is the greatest risk that we have, and it's also the greatest reward. Heaven is that greatest reward, and I don't want to be caught without that reward in my life. I want to be able to walk on those streets of gold. I want to see those walls of jasper, those gates of pearl. I want to hear those words that Jesus will speak when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be able to make it there. I want to be able to see all of my friends there with me. But when their opportunity comes, your opportunity is now. Why don't we just pray and why don't we just ask God to open our eyes, to give us a desire and an earnest, put our effort forth, be able to hear his voice, that when he says now, that we're available. When he says now, we're ready to move. When he says now, we step out in faith and believe. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this time here tonight, God. Help us, oh Lord, as we surrender to you, God. Oh, God. We thank you, oh Lord, for the power of your word, God. In the power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus, the works in our lives. Help us, God, to hear your voice, oh Lord. Have a desire to listen to that voice, Jesus. Depend on all, oh Lord, call upon you, oh Lord, and on the name of the Lord Jesus. God, you are faithful. You are mighty, oh Lord Jesus. Help us to step on your word, God. Help us to be faithful to the Lord, and to be in your house. I want to hear your voice. I want to be sensitive to that voice, God. Fully available, Lord Jesus. Lord, just like the city of God.